Man, I love the truth in that song. He's for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. And you know that's a struggle we all face. It is really believing that we are who God says we are. Finding our identity in Christ and living out the truth of who we are in our relationship with God and our relationship with other people. Goes right along with what we're looking at tonight. We're back again in Luke chapter 9. So if you will turn to that passage. And we're going to be a little bit further along. But it's going to kind of piggyback off of what we talked about this morning, or a particular saying or a particular teaching that Jesus told the disciples in the passage that we looked at this morning, because he's going to address it again a couple of days later. And you know, there are always things in Scripture that we struggle with. There are always things in Scripture that are very hard for us to digest, to grasp or get our mind around. They're difficult teachings in Scripture, but sometimes things that are the most straightforward are the hardest things for us to grasp and to implement. Okay. Part of who our identity in Christ, who we are in Christ Jesus, the reality and finding our identity in Christ and living that out. But Jesus, in Luke chapter 9, again, he just got through feeding the 5,000. There's a large group of people following. They're wanting to press him into leadership and becoming their earthly king to overthrow the Roman government. They're trying to drum up a rebellion with Jesus at the head. And Jesus left there because that was not what he was sent for. He wasn't sent here for an earthly kingdom. He wasn't sent here to overthrow the Roman government and make the government do right and be right. He came to set up the kingdom of God in the hearts of men and to save people from their sins. And so in this morning's passage, as we begin to look at it, as he's walking with his disciples, and they ask, okay, who do men say that I am? They went through all of that, and he said, okay, who do you say that I am? You are the Christ of God. Okay, we got that. But then he went right into the teaching of, okay, since you understand I'm the Messiah, I need to correct some things, some misunderstandings, some misguided ideas about the Christ. Because again, they were looking for an earthly Messiah, an earthly Christ, an earthly king, an earthly deliverer. Someone who would reestablish the kingdom of Israel, would overthrow the Roman government, and make them the big boys on the block again. Okay? But Jesus said in verse 22 of chapter 9, he says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed and raised on the third day. All right? So he's told them that already. Since you understand I'm the Messiah, I'm the Christ, okay, this is what I'm sent here for. It's not what you think it is. Well, fast forward, the next passage in this events in the life of Jesus is the Transfiguration. Man, you know that, where Jesus goes up on the mountain, he takes the three closest of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, they went up with him to the mount, and God reveals the truth about Jesus. He is transfigured. All right, he glows with his heavenly glory, and he meets with Elijah, and he meets with Moses, and they're encouraging him and getting him encouraging him as he prepares for this crucifixion that's coming up, and prepares him and encourages him to stay faithful to God and to walk in his ministry that he's been given and to follow it out to the end. And so these disciples are standing there with Jesus and experiencing Jesus in all of his glory, experiencing this divine revelation, this beautiful time, and man, they're just fired up. Okay, it's a great event. It's a great spiritual high. All right? Well, there's something going on at the bottom of the hill. These three are at the top with Jesus. They're on this spiritual mountaintop. Well, down at the bottom, the other disciples are still in the nitty-gritty, the down and dirty of ministry. And they're having to deal with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, and they're having to deal with the public. And man, they're facing some difficult things of ministry. They're struggling. This man brings his son, who's possessed by a demon. And he wants them to heal him. And they can't. So that's where we're going to kind of pick up and lead into where we're wanting to go now. So if you will stand with me. We're going to begin reading in verse 37. On the next day, this is the day after the transfiguration, they were coming down off the mountain. They'd spent time up there with God in all His glory and Jesus and saw what was happening. It says that on the next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met them. And a man from the crowd shouted, saying, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only son." And a spirit has seized him and suddenly screams, and it throws him to the ground in convulsions with foaming at the mouth, and only with difficulty does it leave him, mauling him as it leaves. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they couldn't." Jesus answered and said, "You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." And while he was still approaching, the demon slammed him to the ground and threw him into convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy and gave him back to his father. And all were amazed at the greatness of God. But while everyone was marveling at all that he is doing, he turns to the disciples and he says, "Let these words sink into your ears. For the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men." But they did not understand this statement, and it was concealed from them so that they would not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this statement. You may be seated. Again, man, Jesus is doing some way cool stuff. The disciples are seeing some amazing thing happen. But yet they've made this confession, "We believe you are the Christ." And God has told them already, "I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be turned over, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be raised on the third day." And again, he goes back and he takes these three with him to the mountaintop. And they see that he is truly, it's revealed, there's beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is the Messiah. Well, the other disciples are down at the foot of the mountain and they're trying to cast out this demon and they can't. And if you read in Matthew and Mark, you'll see that the scribes are down there and they're making fun of them. "Well, they must not be much to this Jesus that you talk about. You know, Jesus could cast this demon if I was here, but he's not here and you guys are just pathetic. Y'all are just terrible. Y'all can't handle anything. I thought y'all had faith. I thought this guy was somebody and enabled y'all to do all kinds of..." Man, they were just giving them downtown. The disciples were frustrated and they were getting aggravated, but the crowd was getting aggravated and Dad was getting mad too. "Look, I came and I begged your disciples to cast this demon out. They couldn't do it. These guys I thought were somebody. These guys I thought were special. Man, they've been sent out. They've done miracles before. You've used them before. But now I come to them in need and there's nothing they can do. They're powerless. They're impotent. They're worthless." So Jesus rebukes the crowd. He's not rebuking the disciples. He's rebuking the crowd when he says, "You faithless generation." He says, "You unbelieving and perverted generation." They're coming and they want God to do something, but yet they don't believe who Jesus is. They don't believe and understand the Messiah, but yet they still want him to do what they want him to do. "We don't believe that you're Son of God, but yet we want you to do what benefits us. We don't want to surrender our lives to you. We don't want to follow you. We don't want to obey you. We just want to get what we can get from you." Sounds kind of like today, doesn't it? In it for what we can get for us. Jesus already said, he's already rebuked the crowd. "Look, you're following me for the wrong reason. You're following me because I fed you. And you need food that where you'll never be hungry again. I offer you myself, the bread of life, the living water." So he's rebuking them again. They're coming for what he can do for them rather than putting their faith in him and submitting their lives to him. So he's rebuking them and he does what the disciples can't do. He cast out this demon. Now, if you read in Mark and you read in Matthew, as they tell this event, the disciples ask him, "Why couldn't we do this?" He says, "Well, this one could only be cast out through prayer and fasting. Okay, there are some things that take a lot of spiritual power and impetus. Something that we don't have within ourselves. It's our connection. It's our relationship with God. It's our availability to God. So our prayer and our fasting and getting ready. There are some ministry things that are just beyond, okay, normal ministry stuff. It says this one requires a lot deeper fellowship, a lot deeper relationship with God than the other things that you've experienced. So he says, look, you need to focus on your relationship with me. But that's what they said. Now I want to focus on something here that Jesus told the disciples. After he had rebuked and cast out this demon, he gave this son back to the Father. And I want to focus on verses 44 and 45 is kind of where I want us to dig in just a little bit tonight. Because as I begin to read this, I was reading through preparing for this morning, and then I read on beyond and read through this, and man, it just kind of jumped out at me. This is a question I have to ask for myself. Verse 43 says, while they were all amazed at the greatness of God, how he had demonstrated the majesty of God as he cast out this demon, but while everyone was marveling at all that he said and was doing, he looked at his disciples and he said something very interesting. Because already before it says they didn't understand it, they couldn't believe it. When he told them he was going to be delivered over to the scribes and the priests, chief priests and the Pharisees and killed and raised up on the third day, they didn't understand that then. So he says to them, let these words sink into your ears. Again, let these words sink into your ears. You've got to grasp this, guys, because this is important. I'm not going to be here with you for long. These are things that you've got to be able to do. These are things that you've got to be able to follow up in ministry. But he says, look, let these things sink into your ears. I'm not who you want me to be. See, they wanted, again, they wanted an earthly Messiah. They wanted an earthly king. They wanted an earthly deliverer. He said, look, your perception of the Messiah is wrong. And because your perception is wrong, then your usefulness is missing. He says, let these words sink into your ears, for the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. It was important that they understand that the Messiah was not what they had preconceived him to be. And their preconceived notions about the Messiah was preventing them from understanding. And that next passage says, but they did not understand this statement. It was concealed from them so that they would not perceive it. Was it God that concealed it? No, Jesus is trying to convince them. They weren't able to perceive it because they couldn't get beyond their preconceived notions about what the Messiah was supposed to be. What man had determined, what the leadership of Israel had determined, what God was supposed to be, what his Messiah was supposed to be, how he was supposed to act, how he was supposed to set up his kingdom here. They had been taught this. They had determined this is how the Messiah is, and anything outside their little box, they couldn't perceive it. Jesus said, guys, you've got to let this sink in. You've got to let go of what you think about the Messiah and listen to what I'm telling you. You got to let this sink in. You've got to let go of what you thought before. You've got to let go of who you think I am and who you think I'm supposed to be. And let this truth sink into you. I am going to be handed over to men to be killed and be raised on the third day. He's going back to that teaching before that they could not understand, but was so important because when he was killed, he knew what was going to happen. They were going to flee. They were going to be afraid. They were going to be broken. They were going to be disappointed. And it was going to be a crisis of faith for them. And the crisis of faith was not because God hadn't been trying to prepare them. It wasn't because God hadn't been telling them. It wasn't because God hadn't been trying to teach them. It was because they wouldn't let go of what they thought the Messiah should be and what he should do, how he should act. It was their preconceived notions that were getting in the way of their growth and their fellowship and their usefulness to God. Now, see, this is where God began to ask me some questions. Okay, what preconceived things do you have that's preventing you from understanding the teachings of God? What are the preconceived ideas about how God functions and what God is doing and what He will do and what He won't do? What preconceived ideas do you have that's stopping me from being useful in the kingdom? From understanding what God is trying to teach me, what God is trying to do in me so He can do something through me. In the context, it seems that this misunderstanding, this spiritual blockade that's been set up is preventing them from being able to do this miracle of casting out this demon. That they should fully be able to do it. It shouldn't be something that was beyond them, but their understanding, their faith, their preconceived notions of the Messiah was holding them up from being useful for the kingdom. And so we've got to think about, we've got to pray about, we've got to see and say, God, what things am I not letting into my heart because I'm not willing to let go of my preconceived ideas about what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it? What am I missing out on? What am I preventing from you or preventing you from taking root in my heart and growing me in my discipleship, growing in my usefulness, growing me in my understanding and knowledge of Jesus? What is it that's preventing me from moving forward in my understanding of my walk with you? Because here, again, the disciples, they couldn't grasp the idea that Jesus was going to die. The Messiah can't die. God's Son can't be killed. God would never. Sure, in His grace, He'd come down. He's going to send a Messiah. He's going to raise up someone to lead us like Moses. But He can't do this. So therefore, they couldn't move forward in their walk with Him. They couldn't move forward in their usefulness to the kingdom. They couldn't move forward in their knowledge and be transformed into what God wants them to be. And we've all got these preconceived ideas. We've all got these things that we say, well, God wouldn't do that. He might. I mean, as long as it's not going against His character, as long as it's not going against His word, yeah, there's some things that He will do, some things He'll lead us to, some things He wants to teach us that we're just closed-minded to because we won't let go of those things that we're comfortable with. See, this idea of Jesus dying on a cross and being raised on the third day, that was not a comfortable idea. They like the fact that everybody loves Jesus. They like the fact that the crowds are thronging around Him. They like the fact that Jesus is going to set up a kingdom, because here in just a few minutes, if you continue reading, they're going to begin arguing who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Who's going to be His chief advisors? Who's going to be His right-hand man here on earth? So they like the idea of this earthly Messiah because they like the idea of them being in the inner circle of the King. And so therefore, that idea of comfort, this idea that we're going to be something in the kingdom, something of importance, is preventing them from understanding the truth that Jesus is trying to teach them. Plain and simple. He's saying it as plain as day. I am going to be handed over to men. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to raise on the third day. He wasn't hiding it. He wasn't trying to prevent them from understanding. He was doing everything to help them see the truth and understand what He's saying. What was preventing them? Their preconceived ideas, their preconceived notions. So we need to struggle with this, and we as a church need to struggle with this. What's preventing us from seeing God move? What's preventing us from experiencing the miracles of God? What's preventing us from being more useful in the kingdom? What are there some preconceived ideas of what God will do and what God won't do? What are we not letting sink into our ears and our heart? What is it that we're not letting change us because it's uncomfortable and it's not like what we thought it would be? Or what we would like it to be. See, personal preference is the biggest hurdle to overcome. To die to ourselves, to let go of that. That my preference and my comfort is not what's important. Because the things that we hold on to are the things that make us comfortable, the things that we prefer, the things that we like. Just like the disciples, the idea of being in leadership in an earthly kingdom, they were all for it. It's what they wanted. What is it about what God wants to do in me personally, and what is it in that God wants to do in us as a body of believers, and how He wants to use us in ministry and use us in making a difference for the kingdom of God? What preconceived ideas, what comforts are we not willing to let go of? What ideals that we have that prevent us from hearing what God wants us to do and wants us to hear? See, we've got to be careful. These disciples, again, they profess Jesus as the Messiah. They've already done that. They've kind of settled that. They three of them have experienced this hilltop, mountaintop experience of the Transfiguration. But yet they could not listen to the plainest of teachings of Jesus because that didn't fit their mold of the Messiah. Didn't fit their mold of how God functions. Didn't fit their mold of what it meant to be in the kingdom of God. And it's a danger for all of us. It's a danger for us as a church. There's the old expression of putting God in a box. And it's exactly what they were doing. And it's something that we're very guilty of. We want God to fit in our neat little box the way we've always thought God is and how we always thought God would function and always thought God would do and what He would want us to do and how He would work in us and through us. But yet, God can't be kept in a box. God can do anything God wants to do. God can work in our lives in ways that we cannot imagine if we'll just let Him and be open to His moving and His teaching and His challenging and His transforming. I mean, He can use any circumstance, any person, if we're just willing to trust Him, willing to let Him show us and teach us. Now, again, don't get me wrong. God will never do anything that is conflict or contrary to His character. He cannot, He will not. He will not do anything that's outside His word. But we try to make the word very easy to understand, and we try to make the word very easy to live out, and it's not. A God who can speak the world into creation has got ideas and got ways and plans that we cannot fathom. But we just got to trust that He's always right and be willing to take the risk. Be willing to be obedient and let go of whatever it is that is in conflict with what God's Word says about Him. I, as a pastor, you know, I've got a history. I've got experiences in the past, and I've seen how churches have been led, and I've got pastors that I look up to, and that spiritual men that have kind of helped me grow, and I've watched them in their leadership, and I say, well, that's how God works. If I'll just do this, this is what God will do. Don't work that way. We're a unique place. We're a unique people, and God's got plans for us that may not look like anything else in town. May not look like anything else anywhere else. He's got a purpose and a plan for us. He's got a purpose and a plan for you that may not look like anybody else's life. May not look like anybody else's experience with God. But we've got to trust Him. And we've got to let Him be God and us be willing to listen and to follow. To let these words sink in. Man, when I read that, I've read this a bunch of times. I've read through the Bible several times, read through Luke several times, taught through Luke one time. But this never jumped out at me like it did the other day. Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is going to be delivered in the hands of men. It wasn't God who was keeping them from understanding. It was their own closed-mindedness. And we've got to guard against that. Again, I don't want us to think that anything goes. It's not what I'm saying, okay? But God's Word will guide us. God's Word will help us discern whether, okay, this direction is in line with what God says we need to be doing. But let's not be afraid to do something different. Let's don't say that God would never do this like this unless it's against God's Word. And let's be open to what God has for us. Let's be open to what God wants to teach us. Let's be open to what God wants to do through us so we can experience everything God has for us. The disciples were not useful for casting out this demon because of their lack of understanding of who Jesus is. And that's the danger for us. We miss out on what God wants to do through us because we're not willing to change the way we think and what we know about Him. All right? Tonight, I just want to close with this question. Because this is something only you can answer, and it's something that we need to pray about. This is something we need to let God be at work in our hearts. Like, what is it that I'm holding on to? What thought or preconceived notion am I holding on to that prevents me from growing in Christ and being useful to God?